of these have power. And when that power is under control, it's called meekness.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The two greatest leaders and lawgivers the world has ever known were both marked by this great moral virtue called meekness, and every one of us ought to embrace it. Moses and Jesus Christ. I read in Numbers, the 12th chapter, in verse 3, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." And I read in Matthew 11 and verse 29, and these are the words of Jesus, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." I am meek. The man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. The two greatest lawgivers and leaders that ever influenced the course of history on the face of the globe, Moses of the Old Testament theocracy and Jesus Christ of the New Testament church, were powerfully meek individuals. It's imperative that you and I come to understand what it means to be meek, and that it's imperative that we embrace its implications in our lives. The first thing I want to say to you about meekness is I want to give to you the essence of meekness. I want you to see a logical development in the Beatitudes, and then I want to give you a linguistic or language-oriented definition of the word. I want you to understand what the word means. So we see the essence of meekness. Then I want you to look very quickly with me at the expression of meekness, in particular at four areas where it ought to surface in our everyday lives, and see whether or not it's being expressed in your life in those areas. The expression of meekness. And then finally, I want you to see the effect of meekness. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." There's a sense in which we do that presently, and there's an ultimate sense in which we will do it prophetically or prospectively in the future. Now first, let's look at the essence of meekness just for a moment. And I think there's a very logical development in the unfolding of the Beatitudes. There is first that fundamental postulate, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," that recognition of spiritual bankruptcy. Then, when a man has truly faced himself and admitted his spiritual bankruptcy, his poverty and his sin, and especially as he turns to face a holy God, and he sees the infinite chasm between the ugliness of his own personal sin and the radiance of God's holiness, he is inevitably turned into a condition of mourning. So the next beatitude is, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." The result of those first two is that the man wishes for release from the powers of evil. He wishes for some source of inward strength. That's precisely what meekness is all about. Meekness is a very powerful moral virtue that enables me to control the ugly elements of my being and allow the divine elements placed in me when I became a Christian to come to the surface. Meekness is the power to become what God wants me to become. Now let's go a little further and define it more precisely. We've looked at a logical development. Let's look here at a linguistic definition for just a moment. What is meekness more precisely? Meekness is power over power. Power which is held under control by a higher power. Meekness is that controlling factor. The man who has integrated the character quality of meekness into his life is the man who has gained control over the powers of his life, his physical, emotional, intellectual, volitional, spiritual powers are channeled and controlled by God into extremely significant, productive avenues of Christian service. It's a very powerful concept, meekness. The Greek word is praus, P-R-A-U-S, and it has a very rich history. Let me illustrate it for you if I can quickly. In the ancient world, praus was a medical term. It was used to describe a soothing medicine. It was not only a medical term use of a soothing medicine, but it was a verbal term. It was used to describe mild words. It was a nautical term. It was used by the sailors to describe a cooling and a refreshing breeze on a hot and a sultry day on the Mediterranean. It was a social term used to describe the warmth and the gentleness of relationship which exists between good friends. And then it was an animal term, interestingly enough. This was a term that was used of domesticating an animal. It was used, for example, of a horse which has been broken in and has become obedient to the reins. Or it was used of a sheepdog who is trained by kindness to understand and obey every word of command. When the horse was sensitive to the reins, when the sheepdog was obedient to the command of his master, in that moment he was meek. He wasn't weak. He was still strong. He was still pensive and powerful, but he was meek. He was under control. It was, in the ancient world, an emotional term. It was used to describe, we have to be very careful and very precise here, it was used to describe the right kind of anger. It was the anger which was neither excessive or absent. It was the anger which was selfless. It was the mean, the middle line between too much anger and too little anger. The kind of anger that was not destructive but saving. The kind of anger that was not lacerating but healing. The great moral dynamic of righteous indignation, a righteous and a regulated anger. Not anger that was explosive and out of control, but a righteous and a regulated and a selfless anger. That kind of anger was meekness. Finally, it was a humble term. It described the man from whose life was banished all forms of pride. The kind of man who had brought under control pride and selfishness was a meek man. Now look for a moment at those illustrations. I've given you 7 illustrations of how that word was used within and without the scripture in the ancient world. Look for a moment at every one of those illustrations. I've talked about medicine. I've talked about words. I've talked about wind and friendship and animals. I've talked about anger and humility replacing pride. I want you to see that there is a common ingredient in every one of those illustrations. And the common ingredient is power. You see, medicine is very powerful to heal and to strengthen, to remove the microbes of disease. Words are powerful things, powerful tools for good or for evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18, verse 21. Wind is a fantastically powerful commodity. Friendship has a powerful influence over us. Peer pressure carries into our lives unbelievable influences. Ask a teenager the power of his peers over his life. Animals, particularly colts, wild colts, and sheepdogs, are powerfully pensive creatures. Anger is a powerful dynamic for good or for evil. Humility is a powerful facet of character which always anticipates the blessing of God. There is a common ingredient in every one of those illustrations, but what's the critical issue? The critical issue is this. None of these items, medicine words, wind and friendship, animals and anger, humility, none of these items possesses any value unless their powers are harnessed, unless they become domesticated, unless they are controlled, and that's true of every one of us. We have tremendous powers, physical, psychological, spiritual, intellectual, emotional, volitional powers. We have great capacities as creatures made in the image of God. We're made in the image and likeness of God. There's limitless potential for every one of us, but unless those powers are domesticated, unless we are uniquely dominated by God, unless we are controlled by God so that we can channel those powers into the appropriate avenues of Christian service, our lives are wasted. Blessed are the meek, those who have power over their powers, those who have subjected their personal powers to God's divine control. That's the critical issue. Are our powers out of control, or are they domesticated, harnessed, and channeled by the power of God? The proper dosage of medicine can promote healing, but an overdose can kill. A word aptly spoken rejoices the heart, but an evil or slanderous word, it crushes the spirit. Have you ever been the recipient of one of those words? A cooling summer breeze is a refreshing thing, but a tempestuous wind is destructive. My wife can tell you a story of huddling under a bed with the rest of her family while a tornado leveled the whole of their home, leaving intact only the room in which they were hiding. A cooling summer breeze is a refreshing thing, but a tempestuous wind is destructive. A spiritual friend builds a man up, but a foolish friend tears him down. A domesticated animal can give both work and pleasure to his master, but a maddened beast will only destroy. A righteous and a regulated anger makes the world a better place, but a selfish anger shatters everyone that it touches. A genuine humility fits and equips a man to serve God and his fellow men. But a mock humility is a sickening thing to the spirit. All of these have power. And when that power is under control, it's called meekness. I wonder how many of us are meek in that biblical sense. I wonder how many of us understood that's what that word meant. All of these things have power. You have power. Limitless potential and power as a creature made in the image and likeness of God. But how much of our power is under God's power, under God's control? How much are we uniquely dominated by God Himself? The very essence of meekness is to have our powers under the control of God. So the man who is meek is the man who has every instinct, every impulse, every passion under control. Blessed is the man who is self-controlled. But you know, the moment we make that statement, we know that it needs a change. Not so much blessed is the man who is self-controlled, because no man has the capacity for such complete self-control. This is a blessing that is promised the man who is not so much self-controlled as he is God-controlled. He's uniquely dominated by God. The meek man is the man who is trained to obey the word of God's command instantaneously. He's domesticated. He's the man who is trained to obey the word of God's command instantaneously. He's the man who has learned to answer to the divine reins. He's the man who has learned to accept God's control over his life. I wonder how many of us are meek in that biblical sense.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
What's your attitude toward a brother who sins? Do you feel any sense of personal responsibility for him? Do you try to handle him meekly or maliciously?
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.